Well, I think I bring a different set of backgrounds to running for the Kentucky General Assembly. The most important background, really, is the last 30 years of my life here in Murray. And I came to school here as a student. I have raised two kids that are now both students out here. My wife works on campus. I worked at the Murray Ledger and Times. I've been a small business owner. I'm an insurance agent, and I have been the Democratic Party chairman here in Callaway County. That has given me resources on both sides of the aisle in Frankfort. I happen to know a lot of folks up there, and I think I'll have an opportunity immediately to do some things that would benefit our community.
You've been a critic of Governor Matt Bevin. If you were elected to the state house, how would you work with the governor and Republican lawmakers to pass legislation you feel strongly about?
Well, I think the first thing, I am hopeful that 2017, since it's a non-election year, there's been some pros and cons through the years about Kentucky moving to annual sessions. It's hard, for example, to find people to run for the General Assembly because of the nature of how our legislature is set up. But part of the problem with annual sessions is now we're almost into what you have in Washington, which is permanent campaigning. Hopefully, you're going to have about a six-month window. Hopefully, you know, it'll start in January, but you never know, to solve a couple of these long-term issues. The pension is one of them. Secondly, I just think, unfortunately, right now, if you look at the governor, if you look at his administration, if you look at other folks who he's listening to, they don't seem to get it regards to public education and specifically to higher education. My bigger concern is not just this past year. Having a conversation with somebody about the $960,000+ that we just got back, and people need to understand that's just part of this last biennium and just part of the this year. So we're still going to have to deal with the 4.5 cuts over these next 2 years. There are a lot of people on this campus who are very concerned about their job, about the jobs of their coworkers, about the future that they're going to have. And I'm very concerned about the next biennium, this governor continuing his tax on higher education. The lieutenant governor has publicly said that she doesn't believe tax dollars ought to be going to pay for higher education. And I was struck by a column written by an area publisher that was republished in a number of their newspapers that the governor retweeted, where the publisher indicated that the higher education cuts were just beginning. So, you know, right now I'm hoping that the Democrats will continue to control the House. And I'm hoping that when we start talking about 4.5% or 9% in Murray State University, that we're talking about going the other way. Because the issue is, how do you compete in a global marketplace? And fortunately, 25, 30 years ago with CARA, we in Kentucky changed education in general, and with higher education reform in 98, changed higher education. We don't need to go backwards. And we will not be competitive in a global marketplace in Kentucky if we cut back on higher education. And fundamentally, in the 5th District, this is the number one employer in our district. And as I mentioned the other night, my opponent and I were in Katie's together, and I was disappointed. He had an opportunity to stand up for Murray State, stand up for the district, and he chose to stand up for Matt Bevin's agenda. And that, to me, is disappointing. So I'm hoping that next year, in a non-election year, we're going to see some movement, but I haven't seen anything yet that convinces me that Matt Bevin understands the importance of higher education or public education in general.
Well, what should the state's relationship be with higher education?
We need to go forward. I had a conversation today with someone about the rising cost of the tuition. The university presidents have their hands tied. Their board of regents have their hands tied because in the last decade, state appropriations have continued to be cut, continue to be cut, continue to be cut. And we are losing in the long run when we do that, because our workforce, the opportunities for our communities to have better, higher paying jobs is lost. The other thing here, particularly with this institution, and there's some other schools in the state, but where we're located, my wife is from Carbondale, Illinois, okay? Well, the reason is she came to school here at Murray and she stayed. And this institution in particular has an opportunity to get the best students, the brightest people from Illinois, from Missouri, from Tennessee, to come to Murray, Kentucky, get a degree, and then end up paying taxes in Kentucky, get higher paying jobs here in Kentucky. And it's a brain attraction. We bring in the best of the brightest of the other states. And in the long run, that's going to help our economy. Now, that is public service. That's about explaining long-term issues. And that's a lot easier to do than a sound bite about cutting state government. Higher education in this district by far is the most important issue. But in general, the investment that Murray State draws into the rest of Kentucky, it's one of the best investments this state makes. And we need to increase the investment, not cut it back.
Kentucky has one of the worst funded pension systems in the nation. What would you recommend to fix the problem? And do you support reallocating funds from other areas of the next state budget to combat this issue?
Well, first of all, the pension problem is not going to be solved in a 24-month budget biennium. Okay. Secondly, the only approach that I have seen that makes any sense is the bonding bill that has passed the House session the last two sessions. My opponent actually voted for it. It passed the House with over 80 votes. You would bond the obligation that you have. You're refinancing some debt. You're not adding any debt, but you would address the long-term situation through bonding. I believe if you look at what you can do with job growth and economic development, that even without a bond, you can address the retirement situation in over probably a 10 to 15 year period by doing some set asides for the rainy day fund. One of the things, again, to go back to the spring, that was disappointing. The House Democratic budget passed the House 53-0, had the largest rainy day fund in the history of the state, had a higher contribution to the retirement plan than Governor Bevin's proposal, and did not cut higher education one penny. And my opponent chose not to vote for that. So the pension problem can be addressed over the long term. It was not created over a short term. I also find it very funny that Governor Bevin wants to blame Democratic leadership for it. I'd point out that there's no bill that has passed the Kentucky General Assembly since 1999 that has not been approved by the Senate Republicans. This is a bipartisan mess created by both parties, and there's plenty of blame go around, but instead of doing some political posturing, we need to figure out how to solve it. And the only proposal I've seen is the bond bill.
Governor Matt Bevin has launched the Red Tape Initiative. Do you feel that Kentucky businesses are overregulated? And what would you do to support or oppose regulations?
Well, I think anything that you can do from a standpoint of cutting back on regulations would be a benefit. I have seen some of the governor's proposals. I'm actually a little bit more concerned about the bill that has been pre-filed by my opponent. You talk about creating massive red tape. If you're asking every agency of the Kentucky state government to go on a fishing expedition to justify their regulations, you talk about massive red tape in the public sector that has, because of budget cuts, already a lot of state employees are already overwhelmed. I'm not sure that is the approach to, you know, demand it come that way. Now, I do think there's some things that we can do with the General Assembly to reduce regulation. If we have outdated regulations on the books, we need to, you know, change those. We need to update those. We need to go through the legislative process to correct that. Now, those are the type of things that should be done next spring in the shorter session. What happens, of course, in the budget session, you have all these budget negotiations and it overwhelms every room. But one of the reasons the voters in Kentucky passed annual sessions is to deal with things like that. So I think in the upcoming 30-day session, you know, I would think that there's some aspects of reducing red tape that from a statutory the General Assembly could do. But, you know, my opponent's bill, if I understand it correctly, would throw out every regulation and then make them reauthorize all of it. I mean, that would be just crushingly, overwhelmingly for our state employees to go back and, you know, you talk about throwing the baby with the bathwater. You're throwing the bathwater, the tub, the baby, and everything else with it when you do something like that.
Now, for the past several years, House Speaker Greg Stumbo and others have filed legislation to raise the minimum wage on a scale beginning at $8.20, eventually to $10.10 after 2 years, with an exception for businesses grossing less than $500,000 in sales. The state Supreme Court recently struck down Louisville's minimum wage law, saying it was up to the state to decide, not the cities. What is your position on minimum wage, and is $7.25 a livable wage?
Well, it's not a livable wage. I think I support the increase in the minimum wage. It has to be done in a framework that a small business owner can address. I think in Kentucky, the 10-10 is probably, you know, a ceiling. There's been some discussions about indexing it, but I think in general, if you legislate it, you go through a process that you understand that this is something from a legislative standpoint you're going to have to address every 5 to 7 years. The biggest problem we have in Kentucky is that we have a lot of poor working people. We also have a lot of poor non-working people, which is a different issue. But we have the people in our economy at the bottom are facing more and more challenges with less and less income. And the minimum wage increase not just helps those at the very bottom, it helps the ones who are making a dollar, dollar and a half more. And what happens is they put that money and invest that money back in the economy. I'm a small business owner. I want my customers to be able to afford car insurance. I want them to be able to afford a nicer car that they've got to pay more to insure. And one way to look at doing that is the folks at the bottom increasing their purchasing power. You know, the minimum wage would do that. I do think, not to get into specifics, but clearly another issue that I think ought to be addressed next year is some sort of tax reform. You know, those are the types of bipartisan big deals that can get done in non-election years. So hopefully we'll see some sort of movement in tax reform that would help Kentucky's working class.
How will you protect Second Amendment rights in Kentucky while making sure people who are concerned about gun violence feel protected too?
On the NRA, I had an A qualified rating from the NRA. It's the highest you can get without having a voting record. I would assume that I would qualify in the General Assembly once I'm there and have a voting record as an A+. I think you protect the Second Amendment. I do think there's some room for discussion about keeping folks who shouldn't have guns, whether they have mental illness problems, whether they have criminal histories, whether they're on the terrorism watch list. We need to have a discussion. I think more than anything else, if you want to stop these massive gun shootings, looking at how we address mental illness is the way to go about it. And let me say this, Kentucky's very underfunded in that area.
Are there any issues that you feel strongly about that we haven't discussed?
Well, one, 641. There has been some money appropriated, design work, things, but we have not had any significant construction money appropriated. I was very clear in my discussions with leadership that I would not really have any interest in running unless I could finish that project. So other than Murray State, the first thing will be on my list will be continuing funding for 641. I've had a lot of discussions about folks who live on the lake with invasive fish species. The Asian carp in particular. So that's one of the projects. I'm going to have a lot of conversations with the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife. I have very concerns about right-to-work legislation, so I believe that we want to make sure we protect Kentucky's right to organize and folks' ability to work in a union shop.
David Ramey, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Always great to be on WKMS.